Psalm number 1 on page 543. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is the word of the Lord.
The gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 25, beginning to read at verse 14. This can be found on page 994 in the Pew Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. The parable of the talents. Jesus said, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents bought the other 5. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' The man with the 2 talents also came. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. 'Master,' he said, 'I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you.' His master replied, 'You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have in abundance. However, whoever does not have even that which he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.' This is the gospel of the Lord.
Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will take these words and use them to bring glory to you and you alone. For Jesus' sake, amen. I don't know if it's something that's sort of peculiar to the British, but we have a vast choice of detective and crime stories, don't we? I mean, if you were just look on the television, then you could barely miss them. There's at least one a night. One place I wouldn't like to live is Midsummer. Wendy's not a very avid watcher of television, but when we're on a long journey, we quite often play Sherlock Holmes. I've got the complete collection on my phone, and we use that and listen to it on a long journey. And just how Sherlock goes about solving a crime, the things that he notices that other people don't. Well, what on earth has this got to do with our subject tonight? It's just that Jesus used parables to get his message over. And many seem to have a very simple meaning, but many have a much deeper meaning. And to fully understand, we need to sort of unpack the clues that are given to us by Jesus. The parable of the talents is one of three that Jesus is telling his followers about his return, his second coming, and their need to watch and be ready. It goes with his message about not knowing when he's returning. And then we've got those virgins with their unprepared lamps. And then these servants with their talents. And they're all one and the same people. They need to be vigilant. They need to be watching. They need to be diligent and working for the kingdom. As Christians, we've all received something from God, and we're meant to be his servants. Quite a responsibility. Many of you were very kind in coming to my family's concert last week. Thank you for that and all support. It was super to see pretty well a full church. We've had some really nice letters and emails and comments about how talented my family are. That's quite humbling, and I think they are talented. And, you know, it's a good that they're able to share the talent in music. But in a way, it's a wrong use of the word. It's just one way of looking at it. It's a modern way of looking at the word talent. Just to say a big thank you, we've had some other gifts. It raised £2,500, which, you know, thank you so much for that. People in the time of Jesus would have understood the talent to mean something different. It was, in reality, a huge chunk of silver. It weighed 35 kilograms. Today, it would be worth about £1,700. It was nothing sort of small in value. And equally, the talents we've got are worth a tremendous lot to us and to God. And our sort of understanding of what a talent is probably needs to be expanded a bit to think of talents you have got, talents I've got. There are things like our time, our sense of reason, our money, our intellect, our memory, our affections, our privilege, our church, our community, our homes, our access to the Bible, our access to prayer. The list could go on and on. And the question really is, where do these gifts come from? Who gave them to us? I'd like to sort of challenge the thought that all we have is a loan from God, we are his stewards of what we are given. As an example, about, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, I was asked if I'd be church warden, and I sort of thought, gosh, but I've got to offer. I was following Richard Roberts, you know, a real stalwart of the community, and thought, well, I'm not like Richard. But I did sort of, over a course of time, realise that there were things. I was a civil engineer, I had a knowledge of building, and it were things like that I could offer back in service to God. So I think there are challenges that we get and to be taken out of our comfort zone, but there are other ways in which we can use the talents that we've all got to serve God. Do we see ourselves in debt to God for what we've been given? Or is it all ours to use just for ourselves? So just how do we use what we've been given? Many throughout history, even if they profess to be believers, have made bad decisions. And the parable describes how the man with one talent dug a hole and buried it. And I believe that he represents quite a large section of mankind who miss the opportunities to help and bring glory to God by the way in which they live their lives. If we live selfishly, if we're self-indulgent and just seek pleasure, not listening to God, and no time for really coming close to him through prayer and listening or reading the Bible, if we don't give any time to other people, then we're robbing God of opportunities for him to be known in the world. And it's a fairly sobering passage, because Jesus reminds us that one day there will be a reckoning for each of us. There will be a day when we come to tell God what we've done, a day when we can't hide or pretend, and we need to account for all we've been given. And if we have received much, then hopefully we've used it well. Jesus' comment to those who had used their talents well and increased their value was, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come, share your master's happiness." And his words are exactly the same for the servant with the 2 talents as with the 5 talents. It's exactly the same. That thanks and praise and happiness are the same. And even if we don't have much, we will find his encouragement for using what we have. I wonder if we get that sense of God taking pleasure in our efforts. Every word, every action, spoken or done, is remembered and valued by God. And I believe that we're valued far more than we ever think that we are, far more than we could imagine. But God's words of condemnation, or sorry, Jesus' words of condemnation, are for those who claim to be followers and do nothing. The 3rd servant had his speech prepared, and he said, "You know, I know that you're a hard man, harvesting where you haven't sown, gathering where you haven't scattered seed. I was afraid to risk what I had. I buried it instead. Here it is, just as you gave it to me." His one chance to become a genuine follower had been wasted. The many who know of Jesus but fail to allow him to be a reality in their lives. It's just that at the last we can't pretend we've not heard, burying the talent we've been given. And my hope, and I hope yours, is that many will come to believe while they're still able. Jesus' words seem very stark, don't they, in the parable? You wicked and lazy servant, you knew what I'm like, yet you ignored me. I'm taking away what I gave to you and giving it to those who will use it. And then you're going to be thrown into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Sounds really grim, doesn't it? As we leave this parable of Jesus about the talents, what are the clues to life we've been given? What have we picked up? And it's really that the third servant wasn't a murderer. He wasn't a thief. His sin was to do nothing with what he'd been given to grow God's kingdom. And that doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. We need to allow his promptings to use all the opportunities which come to us daily. And then we will enter the joy of the Lord, which is what Jesus wants for each of his followers. I want to use a prayer just to finish. It's a well-known prayer of St. Teresa of Avila. But just as a start to it, as an introduction, it's not just that we're to use the gifts that God has given us. He also needs us to bring his will into being. We can't pray and do nothing. When we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven, we're offering ourselves as agents of God's transforming love. Now that prayer. Christ has no body on earth but ours, no hands but ours, no feet but ours. Ours are the eyes through which Christ's compassion is to look out on the world. Ours are the feet with which he's able to go about doing good. Ours are the hands by which he is to bless his people, now and to the end of the ages. Amen.